Chrysler Intrepid with new plates, you left your lights on. It could be disheartening an hour from now. A white Dodge? Dodge Intrepid with new plates. Sometimes the job of a preacher seems to the preacher superfluous, especially when you experience God's presence with you. What you want to do is just be quiet. Be quiet in His presence. But the responsibilities of a preacher are also to share the word with all of God's people. So as much as I would probably prefer to stay there on my knees being prayed for, I will press ahead anyway. What we heard from Peter today, from Peter's first letter, is really quite extraordinary, and it has to do with Christians suffering. And Christians often do suffer for their faith. Not so much in this country. About the worst that we ever face in this country is ridicule, and not even much of that. There are other places in the world where the suffering of Christians is profound. People are murdered for their faith. Someone just in an Islamic country this last week was sentenced to life in jail for proclaiming the gospel. And the sentence there, and it's important to understand this, is for blasphemy. Now think about that. For blasphemy. And the reason is that those who rule that country and the law there regards the idea that Jesus is the Son of God or that He is God to be blasphemous because He was a man. And what they say is that our God is a consuming fire. He is one. Even the Shema of the Jews, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is what the Jews say every day. And so the idea that Jesus could be something other than a prophet, that He could be more than that, that He could be somehow the very Son of God or part of a Trinity, three persons, one God, is considered blasphemy against God, a crime against God. And that's the mindset which has put that person in prison and which has caused many disciples of Jesus in Jesus' time and ours to be put to death. It's one of the reasons why the early Christians were put to death by the Romans, because their belief in Jesus was blasphemy against the Roman gods. It's also true that over the centuries, Christians have not done a much better job with people of other faiths who were around them. And they often forced conversions and baptisms, and if you refused, you could be put to death. And if you know your church history, you know that a lot of that was mixed up with the politics of the day and with goals that people there had where they used their Christian faith as an excuse to get rid of people who were their enemies for other reasons. All of this should bring us back to Peter's counsel, and I believe that this is God's counsel here. And it isn't just that we might suffer for our faith. In fact, it's important that we go back just a little bit before what we heard read today from 1 Peter. We heard 1 Peter chapter 4, starting, I believe, in verse 12. I want to go back to 1 Peter 3 and try to find out what it is that led to what Peter was saying here. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8 says this, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds." This is Peter talking to believers. "Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it." Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate When people say unkind things about you, instead pay them back with a blessing. And this couldn't be much clearer. That is what God wants you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the Scriptures say, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. Now I want to go down just a couple verses past that. Verse 15, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. This is extraordinary counsel, and which we as Christians, I think, ignore easily and often, and have easily and often over the centuries. I think it's perfectly okay, by the way, for two Christians who perhaps disagree on a point of doctrine to really argue through it, to wrestle with what is said in Scripture, to wrestle with the doctrine of the church, and to do it in a vigorous way. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with that at all. The difficulty comes about when we begin asserting our belief, even if it is absolutely accurate, even if the doctrine that we espouse, that we explain and defend, is exactly in accord with God's heart. If we do that in a way which, toward our opponent, is condescending or bitter or angry, then we have missed completely God's counsel here in Peter's letter. And this is what has been so common in the church, that when we find people who we may rightly perceive have misunderstood God's will, we might rightly perceive have misread Scripture or misapplied it, we might rightly perceive are even leading others astray, if we go after them with anger and bitterness and put down, to use the common expression, we have missed what it is that God's counsel tells us to be doing. That we should teach, we should explain, we should engage with gentleness and respect. That's what it says. And even more so, outside of the body of Christ. Now, any person who understands anything about communications, quite independent of Scripture, knows that the way to win someone over to your side is not to say, you're a complete idiot for the things that you believe and you're going to hell. But, well, just instantly she's going to jump over to my side and say, oh yeah, okay, I get it, I understand, I'll join you. I mean, that's simple human relations. But quite apart from that, what Scripture says is that that is not the way that we're to share the gospel. We're not to be ashamed of it, even if we are embarrassed in sharing it. We're not to be reluctant to share it. We should share it readily and easily. But what kind of conflict is it for us to share good news in a condemning and bitter way? That's just extraordinary to me. And further, what Peter says here is that it is by the way we live our lives that we give testimony to what we believe. And that just doesn't mean being good and behaving right. I think a whole lot of the church has gotten onto this page about, well, let's just behave correctly and then everything will be fine. I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about where our heart is and how much of God we allow in our heart and to pour through us. And then when we know that there is good news, that God desires reconciliation with every person that He has made, every last one, He desires reconciliation with them. He desires to draw them into Himself and show them His heart. That's the good news. Jesus came all the way here from there, gave up glory to become a human being and to live among us, to show how deeply, even desperately, God loves us and wants to reconcile with us. That's the good news. It's wonderfully good news. How do we go about sharing that with accusation and condemnation and bitterness? Here's a gift for you, and you'd better take it or you're going to hell. Here's a gift for you. It's really wonderful. And if you weren't such an idiot, and if you didn't believe all of these awful, terrible things instead of the wonderful thing which I'm about to give you, then you'd take the gift. Anyone who thinks about this for more than a minute realizes that this is not the way to share a gift, and it's what God teaches us in Scripture, not by coincidence. And so Peter has just said, you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Not because you're being obedient to this little set of rules over here, but because you belong to Christ and they see Him living in you and living through you. It is with all of this as preface that we hear the scripture that we read earlier from 1 Peter 4. Most important of all, actually, let me start just before it in verse 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. We return to this theme a lot in this church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, with one exception, are never intended for the person to whom they're given. They're intended for others through that person. That's how God's love flows through us, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit to touch and bless others, and it's how He builds community for us. Just as He blesses you through me, He blesses me through each of you. And He builds that network of love in His body by that flowing of His gifts and His Spirit through His people to bless and touch each other so that God's generosity can flow through you. He then mentions a couple of different gifts, and then he says in verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, because these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, and afterward you will have the wonderful joy of sharing His glory when it is displayed to all the world. Be happy if you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. And so, the reason that people are hated and despised and ridiculed and embarrassed and made fun of for their faith is not because they have been condescending, anger-making, bitter towards those with whom they have shared the gospel. In fact, they've been respectful and gentle, and they have lived in their lives in ways which show forth the Holy Spirit. They show the heart of Christ in the way they live. And yet, in spite of that, just as they killed Jesus because He showed the Father heart of God, so the same love that He showed, as we are made more and more in His image, we too will suffer and be rejected as He was. As He was. But the call on us is simply to stand true to that, to not be embarrassed by it, to be willing to share the hope that is within us in a way which is loving and caring and which doesn't hurt when it tells the truth. And the gift for us, the gift, even when we are insulted as being a Christian, is that the glorious Spirit of God comes upon us to bless us even in the midst of that ridicule, even in the midst of that embarrassment. So, Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for every one of your children here this day. That you would aid us by your Spirit in sharing the good news easily and often, and in doing it in a way which is gentle and respectful, and with lives that are an invitation to anyone who encounters us to want also to be a part of your kingdom, to be a brother or sister of Jesus, to be a son or daughter of the Father, to be filled and blessed by the Spirit, that your generosity might flow through us to bless each other and to bless the world into which you send us, to find more of your children lost and return them home. Lord, be with us and aid us. It is our desire to honor what you would have us do. I pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.